Everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, we're going to start reading in verse 1. When you find there, please stand in honor of God's Word, and we're going to read a few verses. Psalm 73, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride comes about them as a chain, violence covered them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with a fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and they speak wickedly concerning the oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people returneth hither, and the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And there is knowledge in the most is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just guide my thoughts. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help me to speak exactly what you'd have to speak. And dear Heavenly Father, my heart's desire tonight is to be a blessing. And just like you showed me a lot of truths out of this passage, dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just use me to portray those truths to our church. And pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thing about it is Asaph, I'm not going to get into who Asaph was, other than the fact that Asaph was a singer. He had, the Bible talks about how he plays instruments, and he had a position in the church. And the thing about it is I really don't have time to get into anything on Asaph, other than the fact that Asaph started this chapter as making a statement. And the thing about it is the Bible says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as have of a clean heart." The thing about it is you can almost hear the switching of the word "truly" to "surely." Now, I'm not trying to change the Bible at all, but the thing about it is he's making a statement, but it almost sounds like he's trying to convince himself of this fact that God is good. And, I believe that Asaph was a believer because he believed in the goodness of God. But the truth of the matter is that at this point in time, it almost seemed like faith and doubt existed at the same time. The thing about it is faith in God and the goodness of God is the foundation of what gets us through trial and trouble. He even narrows it down to, even as such as are of our clean heart. The truth of the matter is that these are the people that are saved, but they're trying to keep a clean heart towards God. They're trying to keep presumptuous sin out of their life. But here's the thing: it's almost like he's trying to convince himself God is good. You know what? Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as of our clean heart. The thing about it is over the last few weeks, I've been asked by a lot of people more than normal. How come bad things happen to good people? And the truth of the matter is there's a few questions that I hear people ask, and at times we've asked it at times. And the thing about it is Psalm 73 is chock full of the answers. And this passage right here, you know what? I'm so glad that God was so wise when he wrote the Bible and he gave the Bible to us. All the answers are in there. And the thing about it is that, listen, too many times trials and troubles are the tools that Satan uses to try and shake our faith in the goodness of God. But we cannot forget that the goodness of God is the foundation for what gets us through those trials and troubles. You know, the thing about it is the goodness of God can stand on its own. But you know what? It is highlighted by trials and troubles. The trials and troubles are the backdrop for God to showcase his goodness. The thing about it is God is good even through our trials and our troubles. God did not create evil, but just the fact that he allows them to happen shows us the brilliancy of his goodness. You say, how is that possible? In Genesis, when God created all things, he said that it was good, and it was. Even by creating the situation for evil to exist, God showed his goodness. The thing about it is God showed us his goodness by giving man a free will. And with giving man the free will, created the opportunity for evil to exist. Thing about it is, man, if God didn't give man a free will, the truth of the matter is man would not have the ability to choose to get to know God and to walk with him. Love given is true love. Love taken is non-existent. The truth of the matter is God's goodness is manifest by the fact that we have a free will. And that we have the ability to, that we have the opportunity to say, you know what? I want God to be my all in all. And we have the ability to choose to walk with God. Now, the thing about it is that this is an example of God's goodness. Some examples of God's love. In form of question, who sought out Adam and Eve after Adam and Eve had sinned? God did. Who killed the animals to clothe Adam and Eve? God did. Who sacrificed himself on the cross to provide a payment for sin? God did. Thing about it is that these bad situations were the backdrop to show the brilliance of how good God is and how great His mercy is and how great His love is. Because the truth of the matter is without these situations, you know what? God's love and His grace would not be as brilliant. Thing about it is we take and turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. I'm going to go really fast for sake of time. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Moreover, the law entered." Verse 19. "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that an offense may abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Amen. And "that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." And the truth of the matter is it showed, hey, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know, I love that song because it talks about how much grace abounded. Whenever we have troubles on this old sinful earth, you know what? The troubles that we endure do not even compare to the goodness that Christ showed on the cross. They don't even compare. You know, we sing the song, "The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to know that God loves me." Talk about wonderful. Hey, the fact that we were lost in sin and Christ loved us so much that He was willing to come on this earth and die on the cross for our sins. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I wonder why He did it. You know what? I don't deserve it. The wonder of it all, God's goodness. You know, a lot of times I hear the question as well, why could a good God choose to bless some people more than others? Why could a good God choose to bless some people more than others? Well, if you turn over your Bibles in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible talks about this. It's amazing how the Bible is our guide to just about everything. The thing about it is Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 17, the Bible says, For thus saith the high and lofty, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. The Bible says that God inhabiteth eternity. The thing about it is you know what makes God so great other than the fact that God is great? The fact that, you know what, we are bound to one point in time. And we don't know the future. But you know what? God sees eternity. The Bible says He inhabits eternity. It's like God's looking at it from a panoramic view. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows the middle. He knows every point in time in between. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? He is all-knowing. And the thing about it is you know what? Asaph was right. We're going to have a clean heart if we're going to experience the goodness of God. And the truth of the matter is that, you know what? Psalm 66:18, the Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me." The thing about it is you know what? Iniquity in my heart will separate me from God. And so continuing on in Psalms chapter 73 and verse 2, the Bible says, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone and my steps had well nigh slipped." The thing about it is that I want you to notice the word "but." It's a note of contrast. Even though God is good, He's saying, you know what? Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart, but. Thing about it is that, you know what? But He almost fell. He backslid. The devil almost had him. Truth of the matter is that, you know what? There's a lot of us, there's been times where that's the case. You know what? The thing about it is John Mark quit on God. Acts 12:25 and verse 13:13. Demas quit on God. The Bible says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Too many times I hear another question, and I hear, so why are so many Christians falling nowadays? Thing about it is, let me back up a little bit. You know, when it comes to pastors and Christians and whatnot, you know, I remember as a young child, I used to look up to pastors that I tell you what, could tear it up. You know what I mean? They get up there and they're hollering and screaming and spitting and slobbering and jumping back and forth. And I tell you what, they are tearing it up. And you know, as a young child, I remember looking up to that thinking, whoa, that's cool, the pastor. But then you get a little older and a little more mature, and then you start to admit, hey, you know what? Look at those people. They have big works. And you know what? Wow, look at how many people they're reaching for Christ. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? After you've watched things for a while, you get to the point where you realize, you know what? You should admire those things, that those people that just finished the course, finished the faith. And the truth of the matter is you know what? Sometimes people fall. And the truth of the matter is they did great things, but they took down a lot of people when they fell. Maybe they were a firecracker, but the thing about it is the Bible says, moreover, is the required among stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness is the key. And so, and the truth of the matter is but by the grace of God, so I, go I. And you know what? I believe that sometimes we get into this, we're successable to this idea that, you know what? Hey, you know what? I tell you what, but I know God is good, but. Thing about it is Sunday school teachers of 35 years are harder to come by these days. Christians that have attended a church for almost their entire life and you know what? They're harder to come by. Christians that haven't given up and just kind of saying, you know what? I know God is good, but they're harder to come by these days. You know, sadly, the most consistent character trait among Christians these days is inconsistency. And you know what? It seems like inconsistency is easier to find than faithful living. And the truth of the matter is the problem is too many times Christians say, you know what? I know God is good, but. And the but is followed by verse 3 through 9. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride comes about them as a chain. Violence covered them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than their heart could wish for, or could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Thing about it is you know what? Envy is a very serious sin. You know what? And a sister sin is covetousness. Basically, what we're saying is when we're envious and we're coveting, we're basically telling God that He is not sufficient, that He is not good. And the truth of the matter is when we're envious, we're telling God that He is not enough and that He doesn't supply our needs. And this is the total opposite of faith in the goodness of God. Remember that faith in the goodness of God is what gets us through trials and troubles. This is why we have a hard time believing in the goodness of God. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible talks about, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is why all throughout Proverbs you find, son, give me thy heart, because the truth of the matter is, we've got to guard our heart. If we don't guard our heart, we're going to get to the point where, you know what, we're envious. The Bible talks about our heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We've got to guard our heart. In Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments start and end with essentially the same thing, if you look at it. Don't have any other gods before Him. It ends with, basically, to paraphrase, don't want what you aren't supposed to have. Envy and covetousness. This is exactly what Asaph was struggling with. He was wondering why he couldn't have what he thinks the world has. The truth of the matter is Asaph, we see that Asaph had a tainted view of what reality was. He looked past the trials. He looked past the troubles. He looked past the emptiness. He didn't see the inner workings of the world. The truth of the matter is you know what? Asaph did not see all the things that were going on in their lives. And the truth of the matter is this is why we should not compare ourselves to the world, because you know what? We do not see the whole picture. And you know what? This is why the Bible talks about just keep our eyes on Jesus. You know what? Why? Because you know what? He is the author and finisher of our faith. We can't say to ourselves, well, why can't things be different? When is God going to bless? The truth of the matter is most of the time He rewards in eternity, and most of the time it's not in the present. God determines how and when our blessings comes, and sometimes the trial itself can be the blessing. Here the thing is, you know what? We were created to walk with God. And the thing about it is if you're anything like me, you know what? We, teenagers, we were studying the David, and I hear the adults are too a little bit. You know, the thing about it is David, we see there was a short period of time where David, he takes and he relies on God. He's praying. And the truth of the matter is then he gets to the point where he starts making decisions without praying. And he starts getting himself in a bad situation. Next thing you know, he's living in the Philistines. He's living with the Philistines, making poor, he ends up lying to the Philistines. And next thing you know, he's back to praying. It took a trial to get him back to praying. The thing about it is anything that draws us closer to God, is that so bad? The thing about it is our trial can be a blessing if we allow it to. And so the thing, you know, here's the thing is I remember a story a few years back about a pastor. He having a big day and whatnot, and during this big day, he forgot something out in his car. And so he ran out to get it. And, of course, there was a teenager that was not very good at driving, backed over the pastor. And the thing about it is you think, oh, you know, things were going so great, you know, and how could God allow that to happen? And so, anyways, he's sitting there in the hospital, and the staff comes to him and says, you know what, you're never going to believe this. You just got cancer a short while ago, and there's no way that we would ever have detected it. The fact that you got hit by a car, for whatever strange reason, we found out that you have cancer. You know what? You're going to have almost no side effects because we're treating it so early. That trial, I'm sure when he's thinking, when he's getting backed over by a teenager, I knew I shouldn't have had a teen program. You know, but the thing about it is that was a blessing. Believe it or not, teens are a blessing. But anyways, the thing about it is you know what? Sometimes those trials that we don't like and don't want, they are the blessings. Verses 10 and 11. Therefore, his people returned hither, and the waters of a full cup were wrung out to them. And they said, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? You know, sometimes we can ask ourselves, well, does God know what I'm going through? Does he care? Why doesn't he do something? The truth of the matter is most of the times we get these feelings or we get these doubts from the feelings about our circumstances. We don't view our circumstances properly. We don't want it, and we don't understand it. Faith says, "I trust in God," but disbelief breeds fear and anxiety. The truth of the matter is we've got to go back to that original foundation. That hey, God is good, and this is the foundation of going through our trials and our troubles. Disbelief often leads to skepticism. And skepticism often leads to direct disobedience and rebellion towards God. This is why God says without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because faith leads to obedience. Disbelief leads to disobedience. And so the thing about it is we need to have faith. Living for God requires faith in his supremacy and his sovereignty and confidence in his will. Without this, we are prone to do our own thing, try and fix our own situation. And the truth of the matter is this is the roadmap to destitution and destruction. The truth of the matter is that we need to get back to the belief that God is good. You know what? I was asked the other day, why do some Christians disobey God? Well, the truth of the matter is we get away from the fact that God is good. We must really recognize that this thinking is flawed and that we need to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, like the Bible talks about. This is why when the Bible talks about us to walk, tells us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The truth of the matter is you know what? We need to be careful. The best illustration I've heard about walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, was a cat walking on a fence with a pit bull on one side and a Doberman on the other. You don't think they're going to carefully place one foot in front of the other. The truth of the matter is you know what? If we're not careful, we can find ourselves in this situation right here and trying to fix the things ourselves. And the truth of the matter is when we doubt God, if we let it, these ideas become tolerable and acceptable, and that's when we find ourselves in trouble. To go on, Asaph continues on in verses 12 through 14, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the way, they increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. He goes on and the progression continues because he doesn't stop it to where he asks, basically, what's the use? The truth of the matter is rewards are not always given right away. They are not always the things that we see and touch. They're not always tangible. It's not like Stephen, serves God and all of a sudden $1 million just drops out of the sky. As much as I'm sure he'd like that. The truth of the matter is rewards are not always tangible. They're not always something you see and touch. And thing about it is earthly rewards are not the best anyway. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. The Bible says also that our life is like a story that's been told. Earthly rewards are only for but a short time, but heavenly rewards are for eternity. What makes sense to have the most of? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. This is the chapter of faith. Hebrews 11, 25, the Bible says, or actually back up to 24, but by faith, Moses, here's that word faith again. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. The thing about it is that, you know what? He had everything. He was living in the palace. He was called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know what? I'm sure he had servants. I'm sure he had anything he wanted. He was living in a palace. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? I'm sure life was good as far as the world saw it. But continuing on, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. God had called him for a higher calling. And the truth of the matter is Moses realized that, you know what? I have faith in God. I'm going to put aside all these worldly possessions. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Hey, I would rather suffer the affliction here on this earth and reap a heavenly reward than to take and enjoy the pleasures of sin but for a season and sacrifice eternal reward on the altar of now. The thing about it is what's also interesting is in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Now, the thing about it is Christ wasn't even born at the time Moses was alive. So the thing about it is you know what? Christ, he was living for Christ's sake. John 12 and verse 32, the Bible talks about, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. The thing about it is this should be our purpose for life, is to lift up the name of Christ, to share the gospel with the world. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. It kind of continues along the same line. 2 Timothy 3:12, the Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly shall suffer persecution." Now, I'll be honest with you, this is not the verse to go out and preach on the street corner. "Hey, if you want to suffer, come down to Calvary Baptist Church." They're looking at you like, but the truth of the matter is you know what? There's more to this than, sometimes when we work with kids, that's what it feels like. No, just joking. But anyways, the truth of the matter is, you know what? When you only look at that verse, you're not looking at God's benefit package. The truth of the matter is there are rewards. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible talks about, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I tell you what, that doesn't come if you're not saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory." The truth of the matter is, you know what? The Bible says, compared to eternity, whatever we can face down here on this earth is but a light affliction compared to the rewards up in heaven if we live for Christ. Thing about it is, you know what? I wonder if some Christians will get up to heaven with empty pockets. And the truth of the matter is they're looking around, but all their rewards were down here on this earth. That's what they lived for. All they could see was the here and now. You know, Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 19 and verses 27 through 30, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye shall, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, yea, also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life." truth of the matter is, you know what? We can never outgive God. And the truth of the matter is, whatever we forsake here is nothing compared to what God has for us in heaven. You know what? I tell you what, this is what Moses saw. Moses saw, had his eyes on eternity, and Moses saw, hey, listen, it's not about what's here on this earth. What's important is what's up in heaven. The Bible says, you know what? Lay up treasures in heaven where moth nor dust or rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. The truth of the matter is, you know what? Hey, what's that verse trying to tell us? Hey, you know what? It's not all about what we can get here on this earth. It's not all about how comfortable we can get here on this earth. You know what? We should not be like Lot's wife, looking back to the world with longing eyes, willing to sacrifice the things of God for the things of this world. Too many times, we're not willing to give up things and comforts of this world for Christ's sake. I'll be honest with you, comfort is the enemy of greatness. When we refuse to get out of our comfort zone to do the will of God, that is, you know what, I'll be honest with you, this is the tool of Satan that Satan uses the most. Well, I'm not comfortable with that, and so I'm not doing it. Did God call us to do it? The truth of the matter is you know what? It's a tool of Satan to persuade Christians not to be red hot. Change means growth, and growth means souls saved and lives changed. And I'm not talking about compromise. I'm talking about, hey, charging forward. The Bible says, you know what? The gates of hell should not prevail. You know what gates are? Gates are a form of protection. Hey, listen, if the gates of hell should not prevail, hey, that means somebody's charging hell. Thing about it is you know what? Hey, you read the back of the book, we win. You know what? We should be charging forward. We should be saying, you know what? Hey, listen, hey, what does God want me to do to further the gospel? What does God want me to do to influence a life towards Christ? What does God want me to do to take and make a difference in this whole sinful world? What does God want me to do to be a light in a dark world so that His name can be lifted, so that His name can be magnified, so that He alone can do a great work? The truth of the matter is if we're not willing to get out of our comfort zone, that's never going to happen. Verses back to Psalms chapter 73, verses 15 and 16. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against this the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. The thing about it is you know what? The truth of the matter is he was worried about the next generation. And I'll be honest with you, this is the one thing that we need to be careful of, is that we're willing to pass down to the next generation the gospel of Christ. You know, the thing about it is if we're not going to teach the next generation, who's going to? All across America, Christians are dropping the ball on teaching the next generation. The truth of the matter is you know what? I'll be honest with you. You know what? As much as I want Pastor around forever, there's going to be a day where he's not going to be able to be with us. Who's going to be the next pastor of Calvary Baptist Church? The next generation. Who's going to be the next youth pastor of Calvary Baptist Church? The next generation. Who's going to be the next song leader of Calvary Baptist Church? The next generation. And the truth of the matter is if we fail to train the next generation, we fail the next generation. The truth of the matter is the next generation is the future of Calvary Baptist Church, is the future of Bucyrus, is the future of America, is the future of Christianity. The truth of the matter is, you know what? We need to not drop the ball of the next generation. But the thing about it is you know what? Hey, listen, Thomas struggled with doubt. Peter went back to fishing after Christ's death. Eve doubted God. Abraham and Sarah doubted God. Elijah doubted God. But doubts have to be dealt with. Quitting seems to be the only option when we doubt. The truth of the matter is the opposite of doubt is faith. I'll never forget, I worked with in Saginaw, an EMT, and as I was working with him, he just all of a sudden drops this out of nowhere. He's like, you know, I used to be an evangelist. What? I just heard you cursing and swearing a minute ago. You know, I tell you what, it blew me out of the water. And the truth of the matter is he said, you know what? What's the use? And the thing about it is you know what? I'll be honest with you. The more I talked to him, the more he failed on believing the goodness of God. The more he failed, he wanted, you know what? There was somebody that mistreated him in the here and now. And he took his eyes off eternity and put it on the here and now. The thing about it is you know what? 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. The Bible says, For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversities. The thing about it is there are times where we cry like, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. The thing about it is Asaph is writing about this common Christian experience. But verse 17 is where it all changes. The cool part about this is you know, these first few verses, we see that, you know, hey, a lot of us find ourselves there. But the truth of the matter is 17 is where the answer starts coming. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. The answer to it all, he went into the sanctuary of God. This is where he found a new perspective. This is where his confidence was restored. You know, the thing about it is I don't believe that this was a physical tabernacle, because the Bible talks about how he was a singer, how he was musical, and how he had a position in the temple. And the truth of the matter is what I believe is he had alone time with God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See, the thing about it is like Asaph, I'll be honest with you, you and I can attend church from time to time and still be missing something. If all we do is attend church and nothing else, we've missed the boat. You see, the thing about it is God's created us with a God-sized hole inside of our heart that can only be filled by Him. We can go into the physical sanctuary and miss the spiritual sanctuary. We can attend a church without the presence of God and without His Word stirring us in our hearts with the truth. All if we miss the spiritual sanctuary. This is how church members can attend some services and never be moved. They're missing the spiritual sanctuary. They attend church and seemingly disregard things that are preached from the Word of God. What's the problem? No spiritual sanctuary. James chapter 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible talks about draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse ye hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. This talks about what we have to do to tune out the world and tune into God. You know, the thing about it is we can get so accustomed to rituals and religious motions that we lose our deep desire to get to know God and to please Him. We want things done the way that they've always been done because we don't want to change. What about what God wants? What about lost souls? What about God's purpose? The thing about it is we should all pray, you know what, God, I want your desires to be my desires. I want your will to be my will. I want what you want. Control me. You know, the thing about it is the Bible talks about we're supposed to be a servant. You know what a servant is? A servant has no will of their own. The truth of the matter is when I tell God, hey, listen, this is what I think should happen. This is the way I think it should happen. The truth of the matter is you know what? We've lost the boat. We need to get back to saying, you know what, God, you are the one that's good. You are the one that's good. You know what? That I'm not going to get envious. I'm not going to get jealous. I'm not going to covet. You know, the thing about it is you know what? My will is not any, it doesn't matter compared to your will. The truth of the matter is you know what? The deeper we move into the forest of religion and rituals, the harder it is to see God through the trees. The truth of the matter is you know what? It's more important to say, God, what do you want? Control me. Control my life. Than to just say, you know what, this is the way I think it should be. In verses 18 through 20, the Bible talks about Psalms 73, verses 18 through 20. The Bible says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places and cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despair thy image. The truth of the matter is you know what? He had a new perspective on how the wicked lived their life. You know what? He saw the end. And the truth of the matter is you know what? He had a new perspective. He understood their end. They were in slippery places that, you know what? If they died without Christ, they were on their way to hell. I'll be honest with you, his perspective went from envying to pity. And the truth of the matter is when we get the mind of Christ, you know what? I'll be honest with you. There's no more coveting what the world has. I'll be honest with you. One of the things that made the difference in my life the most was the fact that I worked on a bus route and I saw where sin ended. The thing about it is you know what? When we see where sin ends, tell you what, it's hard to travel down that path realizing that destruction's at the end. And the thing about it is when we get to the sanctuary, we see the end of the wicked. And we say, you know what? That's not for me. But if we don't spend time in the sanctuary, the truth of the matter is the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know what? The thing about it is when we get pride, when we get proud is the objection to the goodness of God. See, the thing about it is there's no middle ground. Either we are red hot or we're cooling down. The Bible says, the Bible calls them a double-minded man. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's the person that says, you know what? I want the goodness of God, but I want the comfort of the world. The truth of the matter is the Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. You have to either say, you know what? Hey, listen, I'm going to get the mind of Christ, or I'm going to try and straddle the fence. One of the two. And the thing about it is that, you know what? God's goodness is ultimately what we have to stand on. Asaph went back to the sanctuary and saw the wicked were walking a slippery slope, and at any time they could be cast into hell. Verses 21 and 22, and my heart was grieved, I was pricked in my reins, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. The truth of the matter is, you know what? He was convicted of a sin and is humbled. Pride is the center of all sin. He was thinking, you know what? How stupid was I to think and be envious at the wicked? The truth of the matter is that, you know what? He responded to life in an impulsive and emotional way. The Bible talks about how, you know what? As a beast before thee. You know what a beast does? Whatever they want, for the most part. Truth of the matter is, if they feel like going over there and licking that light post in the middle of winter, they do it. And hopefully they don't, because then then it's a problem. But the thing about it is most of the time a beast, if they're untrained, they'll just do whatever they want. And the truth of the matter is he says, you know what? How foolish was I? I was so emotional and my decisions were so emotional. The thing about it is you know what? I'm ashamed of myself. You know, a friend of mine, Brother Jim Babinski, said, you know what I find, Brother Scott? He said, you know what? When I take and I'm like David and I fail to pray, he says, most of the time when I get into a tense situation, the first thing that comes to mind is usually the wrong thing. That's the flesh telling me what to do. And if I'll stop and I'll pray about it, the truth of the matter is, you know what? I'll realize, hey, that's not God, what God wants. So the thing about it is that, you know what? We need to make sure that we're living life the way God wants us to, and we're going to get that perspective by the sanctuary experience. Truth of the matter is, you know what? I don't have time to continue on all that much. But the thing about it is, you know what? This sanctuary experience cannot be found. And you know what? Realizing the goodness of God cannot be found in the world. It can't be found in human relationships. It can't be found in sin and self-indulgences. It can only be found in the sanctuary. You know what? At this point in time, when we have a sanctuary experience, heaven will be heaven because Christ is there. We will not be distracted by anything else other than Him. And the truth of the matter is you know what? What will matter the most is getting back to that sanctuary and walking with God again. Finding out what God wants of us. Finding out how we can get closer to Him. When we realize that God is all we need. You know what the goodness of God is? Realizing that God is all we need. And that, you know, the Bible talks about it. I don't have time to turn there. To be honest with you, I passed it. The thing about it is when what the Bible talks about, who do we have in heaven but thee? The thing about it is I believe that was in Psalm 73 as well. The thing about it is you know what? I'll be honest with you. When we get to the point where we realize, you know what? The only person that matters is Christ. The only thing that matters in this world is pleasing God. Getting back to that sanctuary experience. Then we start getting back to the idea of, you know what? God is good all the time. You know what? Circumstances don't determine how good God is. You know what? I'll be honest with you. We need to get back to the thing of God is good. And you know what? There's times where we find ourselves like Asaph with some thinking, but you know what? We need to get back and say, you know what? That thinking is wrong. Let's get back to the good of God, goodness of God. Let's go back to the sanctuary and let's get God's perspective on it. Let's pray.